It's time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
81 games of misery. Flames fans were pushed to the limit this year. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. And we are officially done with Calgary Flames hockey for the season. And Kyle and I are here to, kind of break down the season and give our take on the hell's going to happen in the future. So how are you tonight, Kyle?
Relieved.
I am too.
Relieved.
Yeah. It was a lot of.
You might say that it's been a very common sentiment in the last 24. Well, not quite 24 hours at this point.
It was really nice last night to just sit back and just watch a game and really just not give a shit.
Yeah, I mean the only thing anybody cared about, and it's been talked about at length on social media, and last night obviously was the debut of Coronado and Wolf, and that made the game fun to watch, because truthfully otherwise I'm not really sure I would have paid much attention to it. It would have been on in the background while I did something else, right?
I don't even know if I would have watched, just because I always say that. You know, I always get mad and be like, I'm not watching this, but I can't not watch. So I would have had it on.
Like, I'm not watching this. I'm like, I do a podcast now.
I have to know what I'm talking about. Now it's like I have no, even if I don't want to watch, I have to watch.
But
I agree with you. I think we both would have just really would have had last night's game on in the background if we would not have got to watch Wolf and Coronado. And Jacob Peltier again. I wanted to see. I still want to see there. There's so much more for me to see there. I don't know what to think, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, we need as we clamored for most of the year, pretty much all year for a lot of us, is we want to see more of that. We should see more of that. And what we saw of that was very, very good.
It was.
Which, you know, I'll expand on that here shortly. But it's weird. It's really, really weird to be done with this. Like, when you get up today, how'd you feel? Was it just relief? Was it a bit of anger at how they, you know, basically pissed the season away and lost all those games with one goal? Like, where was your head at?
I was just disappointed.
That's like when a parent says to you, like, you know, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, or a partner. Yeah. It's like, it's the worst feeling.
I know. I'd rather, like, back in the day when I was a kid, I'd rather my parents just freaking spanked me or something than tell me they were disappointed in me. It was just one of those days. I woke up and I thought I didn't have to work today. So I got up with this game plan of getting all this stuff done, and I meandered through it not as quickly as I should have, but I don't know. I had hockey talk on and I was listening and I was like, God, it's just, I don't know if I care. I don't know. I picked this team to win the Stanley Cup this year, and I'm never, ever doing that again, ever. No matter what, Kyle, I'm never doing that again. That wasn't the only one. I know a lot of people in the hockey world did. And
I think Anthony Stewart had them in the final, he said last night, but he's kind of adult anyway. But a lot of people, reputable people, believe
him. Cervelli had him in the finals too. And there's quite a few that had him in the finals, maybe not winning. But I had the Flames beating the Hurricanes at the beginning of the year. And I don't know. It happens, I guess. But
I think we kind of got... And this is hindsight talking purely in this case, but I kind of think all of us got so elated at what is still, despite, you know, Huberto's subpar season, is one piece of that. But I think, like, we got so wrapped up in the fact that Brad Tree Living turned around the worst offseason in team history.
We can't lose sight of that. As much as I'm extremely disappointed in Huberto's season and pissed at Kadri right now, I still think I'm going to be happy with Huberto. I don't know about Kadri, but I still think I'm going to be happy with
Huberto. Well, I don't know. Kadri was, Matthew Coronado said he was the most helpful last night, and the three of them together, Peltier, Coronado, and Kadri, was a hell of a line. Like, I looked at some of the metrics, and just by the eye test too, like, they were fantastic. So there's still hope for Kadri too, but I guess my point is, I just feel like everybody, myself included, obviously, our hopes were so inflated because, like, oh my God, this is the worst, to holy shit, we might actually be better. Well, we weren't.
Do you remember, like, what, remember your feeling? Like, I remember doing our podcast like six games in, and we were just like, oh, we're so good. We're so good. And then game 65, we're like, God, we are so bad.
We should listen back to that and just compare it to the tone of our podcast now. Like, it's the dark satire that has crept in as the games get worse and worse.
We've had to use humor. We've had to use humor to keep ourselves sane, right?
I think what you and I, as podcast partners, as co-hosts, had to go through a season of misery to really become as close as we have. You know, that and our love of 80s hair metal, right?
That's right. And we could, you know, and there was a couple times this year that I just felt like just taking my game plan for the show and throwing it over and just starting to go through albums and be like, hey, what did you think of this song?
Oh, we'll be doing that this summer, you know, whether we record it or we just hang out and do it. We should record something like that, so that'd be kind of fun.
We could do a top 10. We could do a top 10. I think Flames fans would actually even like that. I don't know.
Hey, what the hell? I mean,
if they don't, they'll just turn us off that week, right?
Yeah.
We aren't going to talk about that every week or anything, but we do it once, right?
See, we're already trying to find things to talk about other than the misery that they just befell us all.
But today we do have a show. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the three games to recap, two losses in a that led to the elimination of the Calgary Flames, and then one final game, which... really was a preview of the future in a weird kind of way.
It could be the very near future, too. I mean, here's
hoping. Hopefully, yeah. Well, it's probably going to have to be because of the cap.
I mean, yeah, true enough.
Probably is going to be forced upon us, whether we will like it or not. And we got some awards to talk about, highlighted by Michael Backlund. Wednesday, we got 60 Minutes of the Rookies. We're going to talk about Wolf Coronado in their debut. And then we'll dig deep. Why was this season so miserable? And what comes next? We'll wrap with some off-season news and some news about what we think will happen with the team and news about the show and where we're going with the show here over the summer. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Kyle, final game review of the year. Final one. Weird to think that. We're through 82 already.
Even you're talking about like what's coming up on the show, and it's like you typically, you know, previewing the games ahead, and it's like, no, we're not doing that.
There's nothing to preview, which is
bullshit. No. Just that line missing from your monologue there. It's like, oh, God, this is so strange.
Remember last year, I was so excited this time of year. Oh, my God. Like, I was so pumped for the playoffs. Over the top excited.
Yep. Well, we're
crazy.
And now the Oilers are on the verge of potentially winning the conference. So.
Oh, God. Oh, let's not talk about that.
I got kisses rock bottom stuck in my head.
Oh, man. Calgary at Vancouver Saturday night. And it's it wasn't a do or die game, but it was as close as you can get to a do or die game. The Flames coming off a big victory over Winnipeg. You think things would be great, right? No, didn't start out good. Vancouver gets up 2-0 on a goal by another player I've never heard of, Mick Ward. Yeah. Mick Ward. You ever heard of him? No.
Previous game, no.
No. And that's the way it's been for the Flames all year. I've learned more players this year by them beating the Flames than ever before.
Yep.
The Flames chase this game pretty much. I don't know. I missed the first period. I'm not going to lie. I missed the first period. I was at my junior hockey team's game. And speaking of which, you want to hear about comebacks. They were in the same situation as the Flames. Actually, they were worse. They were more out of the playoffs. And they've rattled off 5 straight.
Yeah.
And are back in a playoff spot. So that's good news. But, okay. Canucks.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to the fact that that Vancouver game kind of felt like a trap.
Yep. And we were both worried about that one.
And rightfully so, it would seem.
Lindholm and Kadri get us back into it. They tie the game in the third period with 2 third period goals. Then it goes to a shootout because Manko scores right away. And then Huberto with a feeble shootout effort. Yeah. And then we got Kadri, who I hate Kadri in the shootouts. And not saying that because I'm frustrated with him lately. I just don't see him as that type of player, really. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I didn't think Nick Ritchie was either, but we'll get to that.
We're going to get to that. And then Tyler Toffoli, I'm totally good with having him come in and miss it, and we go out with 1 point, which doesn't look good, but we're not dead. So 2 nights later, Nashville comes to the Dome. And now it is do or die, and it is elimination game, and elimination is what we got. Nashville gets up 1-0, and then Troy Stetcher.
The Troy Stetcher.
Holy cow.
Flames Unfiltered fan favorite, Troy Stetcher.
Scores to make it 1-1, and Zach Sanford scores. Michael Backlund gets one in the third period, midway point that sends this one to overtime. Overtime had some chances, and then where the controversy happens, the shootout. When you saw Huberto go over, what was your thought?
Well, I mean, he's very skilled. I mean, despite some of his struggles with penalty shots slash shootouts, I wouldn't call it a bad choice.
I didn't think so either. I didn't think it was horrible. I found it interesting that he the two shootouts, two nights in a row, he gave the two guys that underachieved that were supposed to be our saviors this year shots one and shots two.
Probably in an effort to, you know, get them going and rebuild their confidence a bit, I suspect, but also just their pedigree as, you know, high-end hockey players. But those decisions did not bother me.
No. How about the next one? Nick Ritchie.
It's funny because that pause, you know, it's like, how do I approach this? It was a stupid, stupid move. And the suggestion that because he beat UC Saros earlier in the year
was,
yeah, I'm going to play hockey tonight shortly after we're done. I am probably going to score a goal while warming up on something different. I might try. Maybe I'll hit the post. Maybe I'll miss the net. I don't know. At no point ever, scouting reports prior to entering the NHL, whatever, Nick Ritchie was never, he was never, never has been, never was going to be a good choice for a shootout. Unless it's like that Rangers Capitals game a million years ago that ended with Merrick Malik with that miraculous goal. I still watch that when I'm depressed because it's so uplifting.
Nick Ritchie wasn't going to do that.
No, and like, and then Sutter doubling down in the press conference. I'm like, you fucking idiot. Like, you can't justify a coaching decision that bad. Like,
no.
And people, you know, they'll point to, well, it's all these other mistakes and the bad goaltending. And sure, but all that was already in a rearview mirror. This is a game you have a chance to win.
I would have been fine with him coming to the podium and saying, my choice for Nick Ritchie was not the best decision I made today.
Sure.
I would have
been fine. Even if he just came out and said, you know what, I thought he had a strong game and you know, he'd scored in a shootout before. I just thought, you know, let's give him a chance. But even then, as I say that, I'm kind of backing off a bit too, because it's like, you know, Toffoli, Lindholm, like.
Well, I mean, okay.
Troy Stetcher. I would have put Troy Stetcher. Dave Schlemko did it. I keep bringing up Dave Schlemko against
the Bruins. We had a better chance of Michael Stone coming into the blue line and firing a slapper in.
You imagine a Michael Stone slap shot from between the circles? I would shit my pants if I was a goaltender. Oh, and speaking of Michael Stone, or rather the fact I didn't wear a game-worn jersey today because I don't feel like it.
Because you're buying, how many are you buying this summer, Kyle?
I have two Lewis ones I have to acquire. Now, after last night, it's like, man, I'd love to grab that Dustin Wolf jersey, but somebody's going to be all over that. If I can get my two Lewis jerseys, so the reverse retro pedestal and the new Blasty, that will complete my set of Lewis jerseys, and then he can go sign somewhere else this summer.
Are you? Come on, you got to get a Stetcher or a Stone.
I wouldn't mind getting Stetcher or Stone, yeah, but it's an expensive habit. Like,
yeah, expensive habit you're trying to talk me into getting into.
Oh, because it's such a great habit, too. I know. Hobby, whatever. But then what am I going to use them for right now? Dry my tears? Like,
well, they should go cheap this year, huh? They should be cheaper this year.
Oh, yeah, right. No, they're going to try to make up for all that lost playoff revenue.
Oh, jeez. Did you see what?
Yeah, it was a dumb move. Dumb move.
Did you see what Ryan Whitney tweeted? He said,
I did.
Daryl Sutter has accomplished way more than I've ever sniffed in the NHL, but I am sitting here in utter disbelief that Nick Ritchie went out in a must-win shootout and Tyler Toffoli, the best player on the Flames this year by a mile, sat on the bench and watched the team's season end.
I don't think you could tweet anything better than that. And I find Ryan Whitney kind of like...
Me too. But I thought
I'm not perfect. A huge fan of some of his stuff, but I hope he hears this because, you know, I think he knows he's about kind of a polarizing figure. That's what makes him entertaining, but he was he couldn't have been more bang on with that sentiment.
I read that one. I'm like, yeah, I got to save this one for the show because this was summed it up.
Yeah, and to that point, and somebody called me on this. I tweeted this, and I should bring it up because it was like 100 likes or something like that about Daryl Sutter and his coaching this year. And it's pretty, man. Wow, there's a lot going on Twitter today. Whew. But yeah, like just talking about Sutter and just how bad he's been. And so that's what I said. I said, given Sutter's abhorrent player usage, I think it would be a horrific mistake to retain him in any role. He just doesn't get it. Love him for what he's done in years past, but the relationship is over. And then people start jumping on, and like one guy's like, if you consider being the head coach, I for one don't think I understand player usage better than professional NHL coach, blah, blah, blah. No, like, it's the world, the way it works. It's what have you done for me lately, right?
That's all people.
Daryl Sutter, what's that?
Yeah.
But Daryl Sutter he didn't coach well this year. He made a bunch of dumb decisions. Now, his goaltending was terrible. That's the other largest factor in why the team failed, in my opinion. But this whole thing about, you think you're a coach now? I don't need to be a coach to tell you he made some terrible choices. You don't need a professional coach to do that. There's people every day that suggest trades that I suggested one to an NHL scout one time. He said, that's a really great idea for both teams. Well, I've had dumb ideas too, but I mean, just that whole argument is just so stupid to me. He's won two Stanley Cups. What have you won? He won two Stanley Cups and the league was different 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm
with you there.
Ugh. Just drives me. Just absolutely drives me.
San Jose comes to town Wednesday, and this was
the positive game. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we got to get to the positive. The lineup looked much different with Kadri centering Pelche and Matthew Coronato. Dustin Wolf in net. I was slightly pissed that Walker Dewar was not in the lineup.
I was waiting for that. I knew you were going to say that.
I don't understand it. I don't understand.
So, do you think, and I wanted to ask you this, do you think that the decision for a guy like Dewar not to play, the decision to have guys like Lewis and Lucic play, do you think it was like, hey, here's your last lap as Flames type of thinking?
I knew you were going with this. I knew you were going with this. And I prayed to God I never have to see Milan Lucic in a Flames uniform ever again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even pulling any punches on it anymore. I can't do it. I can't stomach that anymore. I had people tell me, well, we need that toughness. Oh, yeah, he brought a ton of toughness this year, didn't he?
Some of the lowest hanging fruit on Flames Hub on Facebook. And this is the first time I've actually mentioned them by name on here. And it's a great place because there's a ton of fans here. Some of the opinions like, we need to re-sign Lucic. Somebody said Lucic should be captain. And I didn't even laugh so much as I cried. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You should be institutionalized.
I wish you could put things on like 30-day hiatuses because I feel like I need to right now for that site because it's been goofy.
Can't you snooze it for 30 days?
Can I what?
Can't you snooze it for 30 days?
I don't know. I need to look because I like the site. I do. I like it a lot. I just don't like it right now because it just seems like every crazy person in the world is, and I'm tired of the jokes. I'm tired of the people trying to be funny. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the people trying to be funny. You know, they put up there, Dustin Wolf sucks because he led in the first. I'm tired of funny people. This is not the time of year right now when we're eliminated. To me, it's not time to be funny about it. I'm done with it.
To your prior point about Lucic, too, I had said a couple times, league minimum deal, if you sparingly, I wouldn't mind it. But now, looking back on the season that was and seeing guys at Coronado with that wicked wrist shot of his and how good Dewar was and how good Pelletier was and how good Connor Zary is likely to be. The reality is used sparingly or not, and we can't trust that, especially if Sutter's back as coach.
No.
These guys are taking roster spots from guys who are far more deserving, far more talented, far more eager. I don't care that Lucic is big. I don't care that he fights. Fighting is dying in the league and has been for years. Like, we won that trade. We won the Lucic Neal trade when nobody ever thought we would. Nobody on this planet can tell me they thought we'd win that trade.
No, and we weren't really trying to win anything. We were just trying to minimize the damage is what we were trying to do with that trade.
But it did turn into a win in some respects. You know, he played pretty good his first year and a half or so in Calgary by, you know, his standards, I guess, at this point in his career. And we have some memories like that massive hit on Matt Duchene in Nashville. Like, it worked out fine, but now it's time to move on. And I think that goes for obviously Nick Ritchie. As much as I love having Lewis in the Flames, I don't think Trevor Lewis needs to come back at this point.
Nope. And I like Trevor Lewis.
Yeah, actually, you've been a pretty good supporter during his time in Calgary, and I thought he was very admirable in his role. But it's the thing that has to happen, and we're kind of segueing a little bit here, but we'll get into that more after, I guess. The philosophy has to change, and lineups like what we saw in that San Jose game is the lineup we need to see going into next season, or a version of that, you know, with Walker Duehr in, hopefully Shillington back. Jeremy Poirier has earned a long look in training camp. I don't think he makes the team, but he's earned a good look. He AHL all rookie team today.
I gotta ask you a question. So Zadorov gets a hat trick last game, right?
Yeah, I texted my buddy actually that used to work with the Sabres, and like, because he always tells funny stories about Zadorov, and I texted him like as soon as it happened, and he just laughed because he's always kind of made jokes about how what a big lumbering goof he is, and
so it's, yeah. So is he tradable to get a good asset, and Jeremy Poirier is our Zadorov now?
Jeremy Poirier couldn't be further from Zadorov, although I would have bet my house that Poirier would have scored an initial hat trick before Zadorov would have.
Okay, here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that.
Is a roster spot you mean?
Here's what I mean by that. There was times this year, and everybody said it, that Zadorov was a roller coaster. Okay. And I think with the young prospect, we're getting a defenseman that has huge offensive upside, but people are a little bit worried about how he would handle the defensive game, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is that not what we're getting right now with Zadorov?
Yeah, to a point. Zadorov is, with his size, that element is what makes him attractive, right? But to your question, I think that. What did he score? 14 goals? That what he finished the season with? 13 or 14?
One behind Huberto.
Oh, God. People have to keep pointing that out. You know, I'd like to point out, too, Theo Fleury's first year in New York had 15 goals. You know, like, people don't, I don't know why we all think that it's like a new job. Like, it's just plug and play. You have a lot to learn. There's a lot of mistakes.
I really wish people would get off Huberto. And let him. You can be on him all you want next year at this time if we're talking about the same thing. But
he's going to have a huge year.
I do too.
I don't think he ever hits 115 points again, but I don't need him to. I think I said this before. I think he's back to 75, maybe 80 some points. He's going to be playing in a line with a guy that's skilled like a Toffoli or a Coronado or whatever it's going to be. But anyway, back to the Zadorov thing. Man, it is absolutely time to cash in, or as it were, cash out on him. Well, he'll never be more valuable than he is right now.
Do you know that was the only Flames hat trick all year?
Yes, it's very depressing. I'm glad you brought that up.
I am just full of depressing stats today.
So, I mean, that's what they are. Somebody mentioned it. I saw that on Twitter last night, and the worst of it is I wasn't even surprised. I'm like, of course it is.
Oh, gosh.
How the hell couldn't it be?
We had one shutout all year. Wasn't it one shutout?
We had one, and Minnesota. I waited a long time for it.
I know you was big on your list. But
that's the thing. Actually, this is kind of an interesting discussion now, because those, we'll call them outlier specialty type stats. So the hat trick, the shutout. If you're on a team that has only one hat trick and one shutout, you probably didn't have a very good season. I bet if you look at any team in the playoffs, they had 3 to 7 shutouts. They had at least 2 or 3 hat tricks, probably. Like, those things don't happen often, but they need to be sprinkled throughout your season because they're indicators you have some high performance. And we did not. We had Tyler Toffoli. We had Troy Stetcher post-deadline. Michael Backlund, and I was really sad to see he finished at 19 goals. Like, I was just hoping he'd hit 20, but Backlund had a pretty good year. Though some people are ripping on him, and I don't really get that. Apparently, he had a trade request that he rescinded. Well, so did Jake DeBrusk in Boston.
A year and he had a trade request over a year ago.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So Jake DeBrusk rescinds his, plays on now a legendary Bruins team. Now we'll see what they do in the playoffs. But I mean, and now everybody just forgets about that. So let's say Calgary bounces back with a huge year next year. Is anybody going to forget that Backlund, you know, had done that at one point? Like, who gives a shit? But, anyway.
Let's talk about the young guys.
And then Trades it off.
Let's talk about the young guys quickly here, and then we'll go into why this was such a miserable season.
We're already doing that.
We have been. We got to sprinkle in good news. Kyle, we have to do shit talk, good news, and then we just need to keep this somewhat, you know, positive, I guess. Matthew Coronato, what were your thoughts?
Phenomenal. Excuse me.
Did you think, were you over the top happy?
Or I was over the top happy with Dustin Wolf. He was the one that I was like, maybe because also goaltending was so bad this year. Yeah. But man, we'll get to him in a second. Matthew Coronato, like when he cut through the middle, and it was funny because he kind of double clutched his stick there as he was stick handling, like because he was going really fast, but he came and he ripped that puck. And at first I thought, oh shit, he missed the net by a mile. He didn't miss by much. He was just above the crossbar.
Yeah.
And Eric Francis, as much as I can't stand him, had made the comment that his shot was already NHL caliber. I think it's actually in the upper echelon, potentially, of NHL wrist shots. Like, there was some smoke behind that puck. What do you think of him?
I did like what Daryl Sutter said pregame, where he said, well, everybody's talking about Matthew Coronato, but nobody in this room has seen him live, except for he's like pointed at one guy, and he's like, I think you've seen him live. And the guy's like, yeah. And Daryl Sutter goes, well, I've only seen him live one game. He's like, I'm excited to see what we get based off what I've seen. But, like, we need to calm down just a little bit. But what I thought last night is I was very impressed. You know what I was most impressed with? I was a little bit worried about how he handled his size, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought he handled it much better than I thought he would.
Yeah, he got roughed up a little bit along the boards there in one play, I remember. But you just mentioned something, too, though, that kind of – So Sutter saw him play once prior to last night?
One time live while he was at Harvard. One night, in person.
So you're affirmed, and forgive me, I mean, because, you know.
Sutter himself. Obviously the scouts had seen him 100 times, but Sutter himself had only been able to see him one time live, which isn't abnormal.
No, but it's just kind of funny to me when you're in the same city as your farm team and you have a high-end prospect and you couldn't be bothered to go maybe take in a game. Now,
he's not playing.
To do that,
he's not playing with the Wranglers.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Never played a game with him. I think Daryl Sutter said he went to almost every Wranglers game that was in town. I don't think he missed one.
Yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah, my mistake. Sorry, I'm still just shitting on Sutter a lot, but yeah, the way he handled it was a lot better than how he handled Pelchy, I can tell you that.
I thought Matthew Coronato, my worry was, and here's one of my problems. I watched him a lot when he played for the Chicago Steel in the USHL. I watched him a lot. I saw him live, I think, 3 times. And he was much smaller then. He's developed a lot since then. Yeah. And I knew his shot was good. It's obviously better now than it was then. But I was pretty impressed last night, to be honest with you. Now, he had 2 or 3 golden chances to finish a goal and couldn't finish one, which, God, just once I wanted one of our young guys to just finish, bury one right away. Just right away, just bury one. Yeah. But, oh well, it didn't happen. I was very impressed with him. As for Dustin Wolf, the goal he let in, he shouldn't have let the rebound like that, but I'm not going to crap on him because I thought, as a whole, he looked extremely confident, extremely composed, and I never was like, I thought only positive. Now, I take one game with a grain of salt. He's got a lot to prove, but he's proven it in every league. And I have extreme confidence in this guy. I loved what I saw.
Yeah, well, he's just proven everybody wrong. And not just proven them wrong, like, defiantly, adamantly.
Do you think he has anything to
break it?
Do you think he has anything to prove anymore, though?
Because absolutely not.
Because I think people are also now. I don't think people are. I think more people think he's going to be. It's going to translate to the NHL good than people think that it's not. He is so 100%. Athletic.
He's the AHL goaltender of the year 2 years in a row. His stats are mind blowing, and the amount of composure he showed. His movement in the net is, and I express this to you, you know, I'd be concerned later in his career in terms of how his athleticism holds up, because that is what he's most reliant on. But man, the guy is, he's the best goaltending prospect in pro hockey right now, and I don't think anyone is in a position to argue otherwise. Like, he just keeps winning.
Yeah.
And like he mentioned yesterday about, you know, now trying to go win a Calder Cup. If that's the guy you have in net, you're probably going to win the Calder Cup. And now you got Peltier, Endure, you know, they're going back to rejoin that team. Like,
they all got sent down today, so that's perfect.
Oh, Rusichka as well. He's a bit of a sleeper. I know he's not the most.
Did he get sent down too?
Did he? I'm pretty sure he did. I think he's eligible as well, because he was on that paper transaction, you know, at the trade deadline to make sure he was eligible for the playoffs. I'm sure of it.
Huh.
I'm gonna look that up though, just to be sure. But yeah, Dustin Wolf, man, like watching him warm up, watching that crazy jump he does, like, man.
So do either Wolf or Coronado make the opening roster next year?
Oh, you know what? Rzeczka didn't get
assigned. Yeah, I don't think he can. He's on a one way. No. He can.
Yeah, that's right.
He's on a 2-year one way.
Everybody's been saying this today, and I'm going to echo it too. You have to make room for Dustin Wolf in opening night roster. Because again, he has nothing to prove anywhere else. Absolutely nothing.
I know. I don't know what happens. I still let me get into the offseason before I give you what I really think on that.
Well, what could conceivably happen is somebody is going to make some kind of an offer for probably Dan Vladar, and maybe it's a second round pick like the Flames played to get him. And I'm like, you know what? I'd probably dig that.
I don't know. I don't call. Is that terrible to say? I don't know.
Well, the thing is, remember quite a few years ago now, I guess, when we had Ramo, Ortio, and Hiller. I think it's a danger to carry too many goaltenders.
You could argue
otherwise if you have a season like the Ottawa Senators just did. But that's a total anomaly. Like, that just doesn't happen, right?
Or Vegas. It seems like there's a lot of teams this year.
Yeah. I just think when you have a goaltender who's just... look at it this way. Think about Matthew Phillips. We're going to lose Matthew Phillips this summer.
Yeah, but he won't play.
He's anymore. Gone.
But he won't play. And he's...
No, he's not even. He won't even re-sign with his hometown team. I can't imagine.
No, but he won't play in the NHL next year either. Everybody's in Calgary's. All, I mean, and I like him, and I think he's a good player. But and everybody's pissed, and I know you love him too. But he's not playing in the NHL next year. I don't think anywhere.
Why? Why wouldn't he?
I hope I'm wrong. I hope to hell that I can
leading point getter in the AHL.
I know,
and it's happened.
I know it's happened. There's a whole bunch of guys though that just that's what they did. I'm sorry. I don't know why I feel that way. I just do.
Ever think you got a fair shot in Calgary?
No.
Okay. Well, then as long as you can admit that, I'm not going to argue too much with you.
No, I don't think
he did. We all have those feelings about players. I still think Rzeczka could be a decent NHLer. You don't see him as sold on him.
I was one of his biggest fans. Like, I loved his size. I loved everything about him. And every time I watched him, I wanted to punch him because it's like, dude, you have every single thing that I would give my right arm for, and you go out there and you're lazy on half of the plays, and I don't understand it. Like, I've given up on him. And he's one of the guys like that we could move on to another team, and I wouldn't even worry that he's going to prove me wrong.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Were you upset when Mark Jankowski made the playoff Markstrom's misplay? When Mark Jankowski was the guy that made the pass when Markstrom fumbled the puck behind the net in that national game, when Jankowski was the one to make that pass,
honestly, didn't even notice that it was him.
You're a better man than I.
You want to hear something funny, though? You know, Zadorov was being all spouty last night about his hat trick, and I tweeted out, the last Flames player that had a multi-goal game to end the season was Mark Jankowski, and look where he's at.
That's true, eh? I forgot about that.
Remember his 4-goal game?
But see, that's the kind of tricky thing. Like, so Ryan Poehling did that with the Habs against the Leafs. I was in Toronto at the time.
Yes, he did. You know, I've always been a Ryan Poehling fan.
And fair enough, but I think I would, now that this is kind of funny, but I would be way more apt to believe in a guy having a good game like Matthew Coronado did. Didn't have any points. Damn near did on that. It looked like he was going to tip that shot. But he had a very good game all around, and that should probably mean more than a guy who just fucking randomly gets a hat trick the last game of the season.
And I'm happy.
Not many of them seem to amount to much.
And I'm happy, honestly, for Zadorov, because I thought he had a really good start to the year, really, really good start to the year, and he had a stumbling point after All-Star break. But as a whole, like, it's pretty tough to point a finger at him on this season's miserable.
Oh, Zadorov was the guy that started to kind of it might sound silly to some Flames fans, but he was the one that re-signed in the summer when nobody else was.
Yeah.
And he's not a big, big name. He's a big, big guy, but he's a sought-after big defenseman. Other teams would have coveted trying to sign him, and he chose to stay in Calgary. And that, to me, was like, okay, not everybody wants out. The sky isn't necessarily falling. And then, you know, the Huberto trade happens and all that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, Zadorov has been a pretty good Flame. I mean, he's been very inconsistent, as big lumbering defenseman can be, but, you know,
he's a freaking roller coaster. But
yeah,
but he can shoot.
No, I don't have any issues with the contract he had with the Flames. Now, had he got a contract that the one Gudbranson got in Columbus, I'd have all the issues with it.
Oh my God. Gudbranson's got to go home to his wife at night and just be like, can you fucking believe I got this money?
I think Derek Engelin did the same thing when he signed in Calgary. But you know, looking back on that too, and again, hindsight being what it is, it's like he was a really good Flame and a great leader, and we got a lot of value out of a contract mm-hmm. where the guy was definitely overpaid. I remember a buddy of mine texting me, like, laughing because we'd signed him from Pittsburgh for that ridiculous 3-year deal. But he was, you know, he gave everything that he could to the team. He fought two guys at once, twice, I believe.
I don't have a problem with him at all.
No, but that's the thing. You got to put these things into perspective. But you know, yeah.
Ready to get to some bad news? Let's talk about why the season was so miserable. And then we're going to end it by what we think is going to happen.
We've been rambling so much today, we've kind of gone off script a little bit with
a condensed version of what's going to happen, because we have about 3 shows in a row coming up of what we think is going to happen. But we're going to be a little condensed version. But let's talk now about why it went so off the rails this year. And the first thing that on my list, the top of my list, sub-900 goaltending. And goals allowed on the first shot. The goaltending. Goaltending let us down this year.
It, as much as I complain about Sutter's player deployment, and I think last year a lot of that was masked by the fact the goaltenders were good. You know, we had the highest scoring line in the league, whatever. But, yeah, nobody can deny that goaltending cost us the season. Because I still think that if we snuck into the playoffs as a Gerald Sutter coach team, that's when, you know, the games are much tighter. That's when leaning on guys like Trevor Lewis isn't always, you know, the wrong idea. Just as a random example. Goaltending is the top of my list, and it should be the top of anybody's list.
Poor player development, like you mentioned, was the second on my list. And you know what, Kyle, I just want to expand on what you just said. You know, when coaches do stupid stuff, fans notice, right?
Yep.
When Jeff Ward was here, I don't know how many tweets I had about how god-awful it was.
And Glenn Gullitson comes to mind as well. Gullitson and Ward are both. Ugh.
Okay, just tons of things that it's like, I'm not a coach, but I know that's bullshit. But
exactly.
Okay. But you know what, with the Sutter thing, if we're in second place, locked in a playoff spot, and he makes a coaching decision that we think is junk, it's quickly forgotten with a win, right?
Yeah, and those decisions, I mean, I'm kind of the belief too that, you know, your strategies have to change a bit in the playoffs. I think that the way he coaches could have been conducive to maybe sneaking out a series victory. Like, we've talked about all that stuff, but when you can't get your team to the playoffs because you're just being such a dinosaur, and this is the other thing on my list, and it kind of ties into what you said about player development, right? Or player usage, which is what I've been going on and on and on about. How did, again, great example, and I know you'll back me on this one, how did Walker Dewar ever come out of the lineup? What did he do to deserve
that? No idea.
That is bad, bad, bad coaching. And I'll point again to this interaction on Twitter. I'm not going to sit there and listen to people and tell me, oh, you should be a coach then. Yeah, maybe for a decision like that, I should be, because that's the wrong choice.
Well, that's just social media and them just being ignorant on social media.
It's also a logical fallacy. It's called appeal to authority. So it's like when you watch the news and they say, oh, the experts say. Well, who are the experts?
Exactly.
Why do they say that? What's their data sample size? Yeah. Everybody as a human being, now I'm going to get real philosophical here, and that's part of my background, I guess. You have the right, the privilege, and really the duty to question things around you.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, the pandemic, it's NHL coaching decisions, somebody's rationale for doing something. And that's what we do as fans.
That's how we learn. That's how we learn about things in society and in life, is by questioning.
And actually, to that point, last night, Sutter admitted when asked, you know, did you feel maybe if you had a bit more of this high-end skill in your lineup, you know, would have I don't have a fuck right. I went, you know, you get a few more points or win a few more games. And he agreed.
He did.
So is you he know, agreeing I for think, the benefit of hindsight?
No, I think if you sat down with Daryl Sutter and asked him what coaching mistakes you made this year, he'd probably ramble off the same stuff we're talking about. Because you know what? In hindsight, we all make decisions, and we're all humans, and he's a human too. And he makes bad decisions, and I'm sure he goes home at night and says, holy cats, can you believe I did that? But he can't go into the media every day and keep saying and beating himself up, because then what's the media going to say? Well, we have a coach that doesn't even believe in himself.
Yeah, I mean, there's a line between that and, you know, being the kind of pompous ass he could sometimes be in post-game pressers, which at the best of times is hilarious, but at the worst of times it's like, dude, like, have some humility.
It's right? Another one of those things. We love it when we're winning, but we hate it when we're losing.
But this is why his shelf life as a coach is as short as it tends to be at this point in his career, right? But
having Lucic on the top six for 20 games this year is absurd and idiotic.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact he wasn't scratched more in players in favor of players like Ivan Ružička, who, you know, we've shit on a little bit, but he could have added some more and did. He had quite a few points in the games that he played. Jacob Peltier sitting for like 3 weeks because of a mistake and an 8-2 loss. Like, are you kidding me?
And having Richie fill a spot that he could, having Huberto not play on the left wing. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, I have a list of what are we doing here? I don't know. And to me, it was like today, this year, I felt like it was like, and I'm old fashioned, and me and you get into it with each other about this. And it's like injecting youth. Like, I'm old fashioned. I like veterans myself. So I'm more of the Daryl Sutter mold than you are, but I'm not stupid either. Like, I watch our team and I'm like, we're freaking slow. We need to inject some speed. So we get Walker Dewar. He's doing well. Jacob Peltier, I thought he had a great year, but he left me wanting a little more offensively. And I think everybody would agree with me on that. But I liked him enough to let's see what happens here, right?
Yep. Oh, 100%. That's the thing. But you also kind of have to wonder who is catering to who, because, you know, well, I guess Daryl Sutter, you could tell there's intention to him and Tree Living, because Tree Living had recalled these players as a general manager, and then they end up getting benched or sitting for long periods of time. So that power struggle, I think, is definitely been an issue. And now they have a guy who's owed roughly $8 million for two more years versus a guy who doesn't have a contract. I would rather keep the guy that doesn't have the contract, because all told, I think he's, and we'll get more into this, you know, in later episodes as well, but I think he's done a pretty damn good job as GM, all told.
I do too. I'm a Brad Tree Living fan. I think with the cards he's been dealt, he's done a pretty damn good job.
Yeah, even, like, you know, Matthew Tkachuk coming out a few weeks ago or whenever it was and saying, you know, that he wanted to sign a long-term deal, but the Flames' stance was, well, we need to keep this team together. I don't fault Tree Living for that at all.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, he had the Giordano cap for the same reason.
So we're just supposed to say, oh, it's Matthew Tkachuk, we're going to overpay him.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Yeah. Tree Living's looked out for the best, and Tree Living wants to win. And you know what? Yeah, I don't know that he wants to be here anymore. And we're going to find out over the next 2 weeks. I mean, there's just as good a chance that he doesn't want to be here as they don't want him here. I think they want him here.
I think it depends on the opportunities elsewhere. I think a lot of other teams have paid attention. He's a great negotiator, especially at retaining his own players, apart from the Gaudreau and Tkachuk situation. But there's a lot of extenuating factors. But, I mean, he typically signed or re-signed players to really good deals, the worst of which was James Neal, Troy Brouwer. A few other questionable trades, questionable moves, but generally, like, the Stetcher trade was fantastic. I really, really hope they re-sign Troy Stetcher.
I would love to know if that was a Sutter trade or a Tree Living trade.
Well, it's kind of a weird one, the brothers being traded for each other, you know?
Just the amount of leash that Richie was given when he got here makes me feel like that had some Sutter prints on it. I don't know.
It probably did. I don't know. That's the kind of stuff I wish we knew more about, and I'm also grateful we don't, because it's really, really frustrating. Because I'm going to say this. I want to go on the record as saying this, is that had they never scratched Walker Dewar, had they played Peltier more often, had they scratched Lucic more, had they done things like that, they would have made the playoffs. I'm firm in that belief. Like, firm in that belief.
I agree.
So somebody when, you know, they were picking a Twitter game with me and said, because I was, this is when I was criticizing Daryl Sutter, and I've said many times, Daryl Sutter's probably the best coach this team ever had, this franchise ever had.
Yep.
I think that time has passed and the league has kind of passed him by, and I don't really trust him to adapt to what the team needs to do in the upcoming season. But somebody said, okay, well, let's suppose he did all the coaching things that you're suggesting and they still missed the playoffs. Well, then what would you say? That's not what happened. That's not what happened, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a stupid argument. I mean,
I'd say we had a lot of underachievers then. what do you want me to say?
Yeah, sure.
What do you want me to say?
What the hell kind of argument is that? It's like, oh, I'll tell you, I have the benefit of hindsight. No, I screamed all year that I didn't like a lot of these coaching decisions. And I just said to you, and you agreed, that had they made better lineup choices, they would have snuck in. It wouldn't have accounted for the bad goaltending, obviously, but...
No. Another thing that you got me thinking a lot on this year, with when we're talking about things that just went bad, shot volume offense, based offense. I always believed in that. I always did. I'm like, sure, statistics show that you're going to get it in, but you know, shots on net are much different than scoring chances. And this team didn't generate enough. What's that?
I'm going to credit you for this observation, because you just made me think of this. I think that shot volume generation, high volume shots, benefits your less skilled players, and it hurts your more skilled players. Because you're always directing the puck in the net, and your muckers and your grinders, like Trevor Lewis, is going to score a few more goals. Nikita Zadorov is going to, by chance, score a few more goals. Oh, he's got a great shot. Lucic might pot a few more. But I think it really hurts your skilled, creative players. And that's where that skill that was brought up last night was such an issue. Volume doesn't help. You know,
did you ever hear them say, well, Jonathan Huberto, he was great at banging him in close. It's not his game, man. It's not his game. It's just not his game. So I'll always look at that stat differently. Another stat that killed us this year is the Flames went 1-6-2 versus Chicago, Montreal, Columbus, and Detroit. You're not going to the playoffs with that record. You're just not.
No, definitely not.
Star production was gone. Huberto down. I would believe it was 60 points from last year. The most in the history. I believe it was. Let's pull it up here. Yeah. 60-point differential. Most in the history of hockey. Kadri was way, way down too. So we're not just throwing Huberto under the bus. Mangiapane had his moments and struggles. The list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, Kadri was down about 30-some points, I believe. Maybe 40, actually. Whatever it was, the Huberto one is kind of unfair. It's like, here's your greatest season ever.
Yeah, I know.
Now you go to a new team, and it's like, you know, he wasn't going to score. I thought he would have scored more, too, but we've talked about that. Being forced to play right wing was a stupid, stupid move. And that probably cost him a couple wins in standings, too.
I'm sure. You know, you talk to goaltending, we figure it cost him 8. The player deployment, probably 4 points. I mean, we're a first-place team if things just...
We'll be up there. We'd be in the same position as the Oilers in terms of like end of the season, potentially landing first in the division, maybe, but man.
And I mean, those are pretty hard. It's pretty hard to say that with, you know, but
they would have been a much better. The problems with this team are very easy to identify, and everyone from fans to analysts, people internally close to the team, they can all agree on what a lot of the problems were. They did this entirely to themselves. It wasn't like it was injuries, right?
Well, when you look at the standings right now, I know some teams have a game left to go and whatever, but I mean, we're a game out of a playoff spot.
We just don't have a game to play.
We just don't have a game to play, right? And then we would have to figure out a way to get the tiebreaker back in our favor. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, really, think about it. You get if you get two more wins out of that 1-6-2, we're in the playoffs.
Two of those 29 one-goal games we lost.
It's mind-blowing.
It really is. It's the strangest, and as many have said, strangest and most disappointing season probably in Flames history.
So we're going to quickly touch on what happens next, and then we're going to talk about this in the coming weeks. But the first thing is, I think the first thing that we're going to have to find out is who's the general manager of this team, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a draft coming up, too. Like, you know? That to me, that's largely a discussion. That's a lengthy discussion on another episode to really get into the guts of kind of, because we're going to have to do a post, either a post mortem on Tree Living or a, hey, he's still here. Here's how he's done so far kind of thing. But
yeah,
that's a huge question.
I don't know what to think there. You know, you got other guys too. I heard that Conroy has been extended. I don't know if that's true. I heard rumors of that this morning.
I heard that as well. And he should be.
We've heard nothing on what happens with Chris Snow. Nothing's been said about that.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting
not
situation.
Not under contract. Bradford Liven's not under contract. Kirk Muller's not under contract.
I don't have any desire to see Kirk Muller back again. Kirk Muller has done well as a power play coach in years past with certain renditions of certain teams, like the Habs come to mind, but the power play was a problem this year too, and I just... He'll find a job elsewhere. I just, it didn't work here.
The cap crunch is going to play some roles in what happens with players this year. I don't know what the plan for underachieving stars is. I don't know what the plan for getting Markstrom back on track. What happens with the so-called rift between the players and Sutter? Is Sutter coming back? I mean, we have a lot of questions this offseason. A lot.
Barring a team like maybe the Bruins collapsing in round one, there won't be any other team that has many questions to answer. Because all the other teams kind of did with what we thought they'd do. Ottawa fell short of a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. You know, Tampa's firmly in a playoff spot. Toronto's firmly in a playoff spot. Columbus was worse than people predicted because of injuries largely, right? The Kings are probably better than some people predicted. But, I mean, everybody's kind of like somewhere around what we thought they'd be.
Yep.
The Flames missed the mark.
By a mile.
Entirely. So far. This wasn't a tweener, a wild card prediction to start the year. Like Stanley Cup, maybe President's Trophy, you know.
I did not see one preseason prediction that didn't have the Flames in the playoffs.
No, I didn't either.
None.
No, there's no, and it's amazing because after what happened last offseason, it's like how can you have a bigger one than that? Well, guess what? It looks like we're about to.
I know, and everybody says that, but I don't know how you can. I don't know.
Well, I don't know either, but I think it's more off the ice, you know, because as we saw last night, we've got some A-list blue chip prospects. It's just everything around. It's the management. It's the approach of the team. It's this constant, reliance on kind of washed up players, I guess, and not giving enough chance to younger players. And to me, you and I have talked about this, as you said earlier too. But you know, you're a bigger fan of veteran players maybe than I am. I am too. I just believe the integration of your youth as soon as they're ready is really important, and the Flames are not very good at it because as soon as they do it, or as soon as Sutter would do it, they end up riding the pine the first time they make a mistake.
Tell me if I'm crazy here. I'm a firm believer that if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, you have to have a mix of strong core along mm-hmm. with great depth. Yeah. And then you also have to have a few guys on entry-level deals that make the cap work, that play above their entry-level deal, much above it. And then 100%. You'll win a cup. Flames don't have that.
No, that's typically how it works. And then you kind of, the smaller kind of missing piece, and this is usually happens in the offseason prior at the trade deadline, you supplement your core with those guys that make 2 to 4 million, you know, Cali Yarncrox, Tyler Toffoli, to use recent Flames examples. Maybe Ryan O'Reilly. There's a bit more salary involved, retention involved there, but that's all supplemental. The core of what you need in a successful hockey team is already there, and you nailed it.
Yep.
But if you don't bring in those young players while they're on cheap deals, put them in a position to succeed, you're not a Stanley Cup contender in this NHL.
If you look at our cap next year, we're going to have Coronado. We're going to have Dewar. We're going to have these guys at a million and less in our lineup just to fill out a lineup.
So do you trade? Here's a question for you. Well, let's assume Shillington's coming back too. Let's assume Shillington's back and we're likely going to sign Troy Stetcher. Do you trade Noah Hanifin?
I would. If I was general manager, I would be trading either Zadorov or Hanifin simply because I feel like I could get a decent return.
Would you trade them both?
Probably if the return was good, but my problem there is I don't want to weaken the D too much. I know I'm going to tell you something too that you're going to think I'm batshit crazy. I bring Michael Stone back again on a league minimum next year as my guy in the press box. He's my safety net again next year.
Is that
year.
What you think I'm going to think you're crazy for?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people think that's crazy.
I do that all day long.
A lot of people think that's crazy, Kyle. They do.
What do you have, six goals this year and he is 30 games played?
But he is the only player I've ever watched in the National Hockey League that can sit out 16 games, come back in game 17, and look like he didn't miss a game.
Yeah, I also think that, and maybe I'm the crazy one, I'll take it a step further. When he's in the lineup, he's on the second power play unit with that bomb of a shot is.
I know. I'd have him on my power play, too. I would.
Oh, man, what a waste. What a waste.
I don't know.
I can't wait to have him on the show. I'm so excited for that.
They're going to make that happen.
It's already happening. Guarantee it.
We're going to make it happen. I don't know. We have a lot to talk about this summer, and we're going to be back to preview what is ahead and what we're going to do this summer on the show.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Kyle, here's what we got ahead. We have no games for the Flames, damn it. The playoffs do start Monday night. It'll be fun to see what happens in the West there, see what teams upset who in the first round. It's always fun. The draft lottery is Monday, May 8th. The NHL Awards show is in Nashville on June 26th, and the draft is in Nashville on June 28th and 29th. As far as other things, one other thing I wanted to bring up on the show, and we have to because he's part of our fan group, is Michael Backlund. He was named the Calgary's nomination for the Bill Masterton Award, and he was also named co-winner with Blake Coleman of the Peter Marr Award for the All-Around Good Guy Calgary Flame Award. And Michael Backlund, I thought, had a really, really good year this year, and this guy is just a true professional.
Absolutely. We talked not too long ago about him being probably a top 10 Calgary Flame all time in terms of just overall meaning to the team, right? It's funny when you said, you know, preview what's ahead. I'm like, do we even know what's ahead? There's so much uncertainty.
We do. And here's what we're going to do. Here's so the listeners know. Kyle and I are going to take next week off, barring major
crazy
Flames news. If there is, we're here. We're always going to be here anytime there's big news during the summer. Our plan is to go every other week, probably during the off season, with shows as needed. We are not going to be one of those podcasts that says, hey, adios, game 82, we're out of here, we're going golfing, and you're not going
to
see us.
Which is we'd like to when we're upset like we are right now. We're not going to do that to you.
The reason we're going to take a week just to calm ourselves and try to gain a perspective on what really should be done without knee-jerk reactions.
So let's talk about that just for a second, because it's a really good segue for something I've been thinking about that somebody else, I'm sure somewhere on Twitter, brought up. Who does the end of your address? Ken King's no longer with us.
Well, that's what I was thinking today. Who locks the door at the Saddle Dome tonight?
That's just it. Brad Treliving doesn't have a contract unless he's re-signed. I think, based on what you alluded to this morning that reportedly happened, I think Craig Conroy may be the one handling the end-of-season postmortem. And I think he's future GM of this team.
Do you really?
You're thinking about it, especially tonight as we've been talking.
Yeah,
I don't know that that's now. I think Treliving could stay, and I wouldn't have an issue with that. A lot of people would, but I wouldn't.
I would be happy if Treliving stayed.
But I think Craig Conroy has been sitting in that AGM chair for quite a few seasons now. He's always been a very intelligent player, was a very good player. And I should point that out, too, because I have to say this because it drives me nuts. Craig Conroy was a very good NHLer, very good defensive player, very good offensive player. Not a lot of NHLers do well as executives necessarily. Wayne Gretzky was not a great coach from what we've heard and saw. But after watching last night's game, and I won't go on about this too much, but there are so many horrific analysts that used to play in the NHL. And I'm looking at you, Chris Stewart. I'm looking at you, Jamal Myers, Kevin Weeks. You guys are terrible. Terrible.
We could have a whole show on it.
And maybe we will this summer.
I need to add that to the list. There is some bad stuff. There's some bad play-by-play guys. We're really fortunate in Calgary to have Rick Ball. And you know another thing, too, that I see on Twitter all the time and Facebook all the time is a lot of people ripping Kelly Rudy.
I love Kelly Rudy.
I know, me too. I absolutely love Kelly Rudy. And you know what? And one of the things people say is, well, he doesn't act like he's a Flames fan. He's not a Flames fan. He's an analyst for the Calgary Flames. They can't be homers. You want a homer, go be a Boston Bruins fan. That's unprofessional as hell. I love what Kelly Rudy does. I do. I love what Kelly Rudy does. Boy, we are really off the rails here today now, aren't we?
It's been a long season.
It has.
Oh, God.
You know what else we're going to do this summer on the show? Is we're just going to have a lounge show where we just talk Flames with no rhyme or reason. It could be a 10-minute show. It could be an hour and a half.
Isn't that what we did today?
We kind of did that today.
Oh, man. I can't believe it's over, but I'm kind of glad in a way.
We plan on being back. April 27th is kind of the go-to for the next show. Something breaks, we're going to be there to cover it. We appreciate each and everybody that listened this year. Kyle and I have had a blast doing this, and we're just beginning. We're just getting going. We got a lot of years to go, and we're looking forward to it. Check out flamesunfiltered.com. That'll give you updates on the shows, past shows, everything. Go back and listen to the show from like when we were 4-1. It was a whole different attitude for Kyle and I. So.
Yeah, but it's been a really interesting year, and I don't know. It's been a lot of fun interacting with people and through this medium and getting to do this. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we're going to have a very entertaining summer.
Very entertaining. We'll have some minor changes to the show, some new things, hoping to get some guests, all kinds of different things coming from Flames Unfiltered. I want to thank every listener this year. It's been a lot of fun. And I want to thank Kyle for making it through his first year as co-host with me. And I don't know. How did it go?
You made it pretty easy, man. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun. So, Flames fans, enjoy a little break here now. A little bit of stress relief. We can sit back, see what happens here, and we're going to be back talking Flames hockey all summer. Have a good summer, Flames fans.
Take care, guys. Enjoy the playoffs. They're starting soon.
Connected Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The wind calls, playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.